Our next presenter is Matt Yost, and the his presentation is entitled, Does Potassium and Nitrogen Response of Corn, or Does Potassium Affect Nitrogen Response of Corn After Alfalfa?
Thank you, Nathan. Alfalfa is the fourth most widely grown crop in the U.S. Corn Belt. The average yields for this region are nearly 5 to 7 megagrams of dry matter per hectare, but the top 20% of growers in this region can average much higher than that, about 13 megagrams per hectare. So why the disparity in average yields and those that can be attained by top growers? One possible explanation may be that the nutrient applications need to be increased. Potassium is often the most limiting nutrient for alfalfa, and it's crucial for optimum stress tolerance against disease, pests, multiple harvests within a season, and in northern climates, the harsh winters. Some of the most pressing concerns for alfalfa growers are first the price of potassium. Potassium prices have nearly tripled in recent years, and so it's becoming more critical for growers to apply optimum rates. Another concern is when too much potassium is applied to alfalfa. Kind of like us at Thanksgiving time or when we go to eat out, we often eat more than we need. And alfalfa can do that with potassium. It can luxury consume. And when that happens, it's problematic for several reasons. Growers are losing money, they're removing more potassium in the harvested herbage, and they're also increasing the risk of milk fever when they feed that forage to dry cows. So how much potassium do we recommend to growers to apply? If you look at state recommendations in the Corn Belt, you'll notice that there's a wide range, anywhere from 30 kilograms of K2O per hectare up to about 300 in Wisconsin. And furthermore, none of those current recommendations changed for the last alfalfa production year. And in the last alfalfa production year, growers aren't concerned with the overwintering, the stand persistence. And so there's potential to reduce the amount of potassium that's needed in that last alfalfa year. Another consideration for growers is how much potassium they apply in the context of the rotation. So alfalfa is often followed with corn in the cropping system. And so a consideration is for growers is if they apply potassium to the alfalfa and the alfalfa doesn't use all of that potassium, then is it left over for the corn the next year? Does it carry over to the corn and is it available to the corn? And if so, then that would provide, if it was available, that would provide additional options and time for growers. An example would be if the potassium prices are expected to rise, a grower could potentially put on more potassium to the alfalfa and have it carry over and be available to the corn the next year. Potassium is clearly important for corn. It helps reduce stock lodging. It also increases yield, ear size, and stover yield. However, as far as we can tell, there's no current information on how carryover potassium from alfalfa to corn could affect the nitrogen response of that corn. When alfalfa is grown in rotation with corn, there's many benefits. Long-term studies have shown that. The benefits are listed there. One of the main benefits is the nitrogen that is provided to the grain crop grown after the alfalfa. This figure here shows the corn yields in different cropping rotations. If you look here, this top line here is the corn yield when corn follows alfalfa, and then for different rotations here. This data is adapted from some work from Iowa. And what it shows is most often when corn is grown after alfalfa, we assign what we call a nitrogen fertilizer replacement value, or a nitrogen credit. So it's the amount of fertilizer that you don't have to apply to the corn. So the way that that's calculated is is often taking the maximum return to nitrogen rate for continuous corn, and then subtracting out the maximum nitrogen rate for rotated corn. And what this shows is when corn follows alfalfa, the maximum nitrogen rate is typically zero in most cases, and so the nitrogen credit can be anywhere from 150 to 180 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. If you look at the literature, it shows that in most cases, about 91% of the time, or 90% of the time, corn after alfalfa requires no nitrogen fertilizer. However, as I mentioned before, there's very little information or no information on how potassium might affect that nitrogen credit from alfalfa to corn. So that was one of the main objectives of our study. This study was conducted on 10 farms throughout Minnesota in 2008 to 2010. This alfalfa phase I discussed last year, so I might kind of go through it quickly and focus on the carryover to corn. But these experiments were set up on medium testing soils according to the ammonium acetate exchangeable K, the top 15 centimeters of the soil. The soils that we used for the study range from sandy loams to clay loams. One of our sites was irrigated, and these were 3 to 5 year old stands. The alfalfa phase, we applied 5 potassium rates to the alfalfa, and we applied the potassium in the early spring at 3 farms, and after the growers took the first alfalfa harvest at the other 7 farms. Those treatments were arranged in a randomized complete block design with 3 to 4 replications at each location. We were very surprised to find that we had no yield response to the potassium that we applied to the alfalfa for either application timing. We were also surprised that there was no quality response. We did have a small response in acid detergent fiber, a measure of the fiber fraction of the forage. We also did have a small response in neutral detergent fiber digestibility, so how digestible the forage was. However, these two small changes in forage quality didn't impact the overall forage value or forage quality, and so we saw no benefit of applying the potassium to the alfalfa. The potassium took up more potassium than the alfalfa took up more potassium than it needed for optimum yield and quality, and it took up about 25 to 39% of the fertilizer that we applied. And so that means that about 60 to 75% of the fertilizer should have been available for the corn the next year. So in the corn phase of the experiment, in each of those existing alfalfa potassium main plots, in one of the subplots, we applied another high rate of potassium to the corn, 186 kilograms of K per hectare. We were somewhat surprised to find that that the carryover potassium from alfalfa to corn didn't have more of an impact on the corn grain yield. We did find that I should mention, to look at the carryover K or the amount of residual K, we came up with what we called an index of available K. This index was calculated by taking the soil test K before we applied potassium to the alfalfa, adding the amount of potassium that we applied and then subtracting what the alfalfa took up and what was removed. So that is what's on the x-axis here, is this index of available K. We found that it had poor predictive power, but it did show that the more residual or as more carryover K was available, it did increase corn grain yields. However, when we applied potassium to the corn, yields were higher in most cases, and it took a lot of carryover K to match the yields of the corn that was fertilized with the K. So it was surprising to find that the carryover K didn't have more of a response. When we looked at the herbage yields and the silage yields, we didn't find a response in this index of available K. In both cases, with stover and with silage, yields were about 8 to 10% higher when we applied potassium directly to the corn versus relying on any carryover from the alfalfa. We also looked at, as I mentioned, that was surprising to us, that 60 to 75% of the fertilizer was not used and it should have been available to the corn. And so we also looked at the corn uptake of potassium. And what we found is that at the high alfalfa potassium rate, the uptake of K in the corn was the same as when we applied K directly to the corn. And so that suggests that the corn plants had similar amounts of K in them, but when we applied K directly to the corn, it still yielded higher in most cases. And these two treatments were both higher than the no potassium applied to the alfalfa or a lower rate of potassium applied to the alfalfa. And I should mention that these two treatments only had 14 kilograms of K per hectare more potassium uptake than the other two treatments. So not, even though they yielded higher, they didn't take up relatively that much more potassium. I should mention, and I deleted the slide here, but I showed one of the subplots in each of the alfalfa main plots was a potassium rate to the corn. The other five subplots were nitrogen rates, ranging from 0 to 180 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. We did that to test the response of the potassium, or how the potassium affected the nitrogen response. We were not very surprised to find that there was no nitrogen response at these 10 farms. No nitrogen was required for stover yields or grain yields or silage yields. Carryover potassium also had no effect on the nitrogen response. The potassium also had no effect on the nitrogen uptake of the corn. What I show down here is the apparent nitrogen uptake. So this is the nitrogen uptake with the control uptake subtracted out of it. So in the case of grain, the grain took up about 11 kilograms per hectare more nitrogen than the control plots, and the silage had about 25 kilograms, kilograms per hectare more nitrogen than the non-fertilized corn. We spend a lot of effort trying to improve nitrogen efficiency in corn, but when you look at corn grown after alfalfa, when nitrogen's applied, the efficiency is very, very low, because in most cases corn doesn't require nitrogen after alfalfa. We also looked at the amount of nitrogen that was left over in the soil. So potentially 85% of the nitrogen that we applied was not utilized by the corn and is or would have been susceptible to leaching and loss. Across seven of the farms, we found that nitrogen soil residual nitrate increased. This is soil residual nitrate to the 1.2 meter depth. So soil nitrate increased, and it just highlighted the fact that the risk increases when growers apply more than small amounts of nitrogen fertilizer to corn grown after alfalfa. So in summary, the K recommendations for last year alfalfa may be too high. This suggests that maybe our soil test ranges may need to be adjusted, or that we may need to include other factors. It also brings up the question of whether or not our K requirements for alfalfa or for corn are changing with improved cultivars. Even though the alfalfa didn't use a large percentage of the potassium, it had a small effect on the next corn crop. So what we would suggest to growers is that they save the potassium for the crop that needs it, that they would apply it directly to the corn instead of trying to carry it over. And also we validated what other literature has shown is that for corn grown after alfalfa, nitrogen fertilizer is often not needed. So I just with that, we'll say thanks and take some questions. Yes, sir.
So I've observed with alfalfa and even with corn that sometimes when you see responses, it's related to what's in the subsoil. What do you know about the subsoil?
We didn't take direct subsoil K measurements in this experiment. Generally, throughout Minnesota, we have fairly good levels of subsoil K. So, yeah, that could have been a factor, probably likely was a factor in the response. But as far as current recommendations go, as I'm aware of, no current recommendations account for subsoil K in the recommendations. The only thing that we use is the top 15 centimeters of exchangeable K. So, yeah, it highlights that maybe we need to include some other factors like subsoil K or other things into our recommendations to better understand what's going on. Yes, sir? I guess the first consideration would be how much is in the soil. If these were medium testing soils and we found small responses, we applied a lot of potassium to the corn, and it wasn't economical to apply a high rate like that. So I guess it's hard to say. I would guess that maybe a small application would be sufficient, depending on the economics, but typically, when growers apply starter fertilizer, potassium's in there in small amounts. And I think, you know, Dan Kaiser's here, I think in some cases they find that when potassium's seeded next to the, or placed next to the seed, that it can boost yield a little bit. So, yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and thank Matt for his presentation.